Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 15. Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me here for episode number 15. This is a very special episode as we are welcoming back our very first repeat guest, John Lee Dumas, the founder and host of Entrepreneur on Fire, a top-ranked podcast named Best in iTunes 2013. John interviews today's most inspiring and successful entrepreneurs 7 days a week and has been featured in both Time and Inc. magazine and is the founder of Podcasters Paradise, a community where podcasters can create, grow, and monetize their podcast. Entrepreneur on Fire generates over 550 unique downloads a month, with past guests such as Seth Godin, Tim Ferriss, Barbara Corcoran, Gary Vaynerchuk, and Guy Kawasaki, recaps of the 500-plus episodes, and much, much more can be found at eofire.com. If you have not had the opportunity to check out Episode 3, where both John Lee Dumas and Kate Erickson, the content creator of Entrepreneur on Fire, share their startup journey, I suggest you take a moment to do so now, as they share great nuggets of information to assist you in your startup journey. But join me now as John and I discuss how he went about monetizing his podcast. Awesome, John. How are you?
You know, I can't complain here in San Diego. The sun is shining and the birds are singing.
You are awesome. I have to first start off by saying welcome back as my very first official repeat
guest.
That
is so exciting.
I'd have it no other way. So thank you.
My pleasure.
You and the EO Fire team never cease to amaze me. Kudos on yet another outstanding month over there.
Thank you. We definitely had a blast.
Certainly. When we spoke initially during episode 3, we had discussed your initial steps to starting your podcast and how the Entrepreneur on Fire name was derived, how you built the platform, you know, and grew your team. But now I want to go ahead and pick your brain just a little bit, delve a little bit deeper, and discuss monetizing with you. So, John, once you built your platform, how did you go about your monetization methods? How did you decide, you know, what mix of affiliates and sponsors you chose to use? I know your story of, you know, how it is you went about choosing the sponsors, but share with our audience how it is you went about choosing your monetization methods.
Yeah, so there's actually two different monetization methods, in my opinion, that we've gone forward with. And one is that sponsorship route, which is a different route than really the other route of all the different ways that we've monetized besides sponsorship. So I'll kind of tackle them as two different situations because they really are. And we'll start with sponsorships. So with sponsorships as an overarching way to monetize, I really believe in the win-win-win philosophy. It needs to be a win, Lori, for you, the host, that is actually bringing the sponsor on. It needs to be a win for your sponsor, meaning that their ROI, return on investment, has to be worthwhile. And most importantly, it has to be a win for your listener. They have to actually find some value, and hopefully a lot of value, within that sponsorship. So I went with that mantra from the very beginning, and so for the first 6 months, I absolutely was not even looking for sponsors because I knew that I couldn't fulfill that second part, having it be a win for my sponsors, because there wouldn't be an ROI until my audience was really there, really active, and really engaged. But
exactly.
At about the six-month mark, I got to that tipping point. Sponsors started reaching out, and then it was really a question of, okay, these are the right sponsors for my listeners, because my listeners are entrepreneurs. So 99 Designs, LegalZoom, Squarespace, these are great resources and tools and products and services for entrepreneurs. So it's a win for my listeners. And it's going to be a win for my sponsors because I have a lot of great because it's going to be a win for my sponsors. Because of my listeners, they were going to get a great ROI. But now it's going to be a win for me, meaning dollars and cents wise, am I willing to dilute my podcast, dilute the focus of my show, and bring sponsors on for whatever dollar amount that they were going to offer me? So that's when I came up with my number, Lori. And I realized that to make it a win for me, to kind of complete that trifecta, I had to be generating $500 per episode. Now, since I do two sponsors per episode, that means $250 per sponsor per show for a total of $500. So right when my sponsors first approached me, I wasn't quite at that number yet. My numbers didn't quite justify the sponsors spending $250 per episode. So I waited another month. We got back in touch. And at that point, I was at that magical number. So then I had that win-win-win in place. And since that day, Lori, I've had sponsors on my show and am now generating over $60,000 every single month through sponsorship revenue alone.
And you've done an outstanding job with each and every sponsor that you choose. John, I will attest to that. I have actually gone ahead and used several of the different things that you've posted there. You know, one in particular is ZipRecruiter, which I have to give a shout out to them. They did an outstanding job with assisting in my newest assistant. So, no, you've done an outstanding job. Each and every sponsor that you've chosen really does deliver for your audience. So that is a piece that's really important, you know, for the audience to take in, is that those people that you're bringing on, it has to be a win-win-win, and you've done an outstanding job of making that mix there. So
yeah, let me give a quick shout-out to Kate, too, because she's a huge part of the actual reads that you're listening. So she actually is the person that gets the bullet points from the sponsor. She sits down and she just crafts those amazing stories that you hear that I tell on Entrepreneur on Fire, because she just has a way with words on paper. So, you know, what that really does is it doesn't just come across as a droning commercial, but a real story that can connect with Fire Nation, because I know Fire Nation, Kate knows Fire Nation, and we're able to make sure that, you know, just these bullet points that they send us of what they want to get across to our audience, we can then take and craft to Fire Nation. So that's another really key and critical point, Lori, that podcasters need to take in mind. Spend a lot of time working and crafting those unique reads for your sponsor, which is really for your listener.
Precisely. And you know what? Taking it a step further, even if it's not a podcast that someone's working on, it's really crafting the message towards that audience in particular and really making sure that you're listening to that audience or to that sponsor to make sure that it's all working together. And Kate does do an outstanding job of that. Please tell her I said hello.
Will do.
So excellent. You know, talking about Kate and her approach and the stories and so forth, why don't you tell us a story about how it is she goes about choosing those sponsors in terms of approaching them? How, you know, do you guys have a standardized method that you use in order to approach your sponsors or affiliates? You know, I know most affiliates are generally a link for websites, you know, which are generally at the bottom of the website, or they have another website altogether, which anyone can literally just go click on it. Guys, if you're listening, you just go click on the affiliate link, read what the terms and conditions are, understand what you're doing, and then sign up if you're interested. It's one of the easiest ways to go about starting some sort of income online. But when she's looking at the sponsor's approach, you know, how does she go about approaching those sponsors or crafting those messages there?
So we've been very fortunate where from day one, it's actually always been the other way around. So we've always had sponsors approach us and ask us, you know, what the situation is for sponsorships. The actual only sponsor that I ever personally approached was a company called Carbonite. I just love them because they're in Maine, which is where I was born and raised, and they just have a great product, which is, you know, online backup. And it was I've been using it for over 10 years. So I was like, it'd be cool if I got Carbonite on the show. So I reached out to them. I let them know what our sponsorships rate were, the fact that they would have to commit to a full quarter. That's what I have every single one of my sponsors commit to at a minimum, is 10 episodes per month, 30 episodes for the entire quarter. At a minimum, we've had other sponsors like 99designs who have taken double that, which we love as well. And then it's a matter of saying, hey, we need some bullet points from you on what you want us to convey to our listeners. And then Kate sits down and she really says, you know, how is Fire Nation going to relate to Carbonite? How does Fire Nation going to implement and use Carbonite in their business, XYZ? So that is, you know, really the way that we've gone about it when we've approached sponsors, which again has only been one at this time, because we go through a phenomenal company called The Midroll. That's just like themidroll.com, who is a broker for sponsor for podcasters. So they have over 130, I think, is a count now, of companies that have reached out to them and said, hey, we want to sponsor a podcast. Let us know which ones you think would fit well for our products, our services. And then they do the match up. And of course, as the broker and the middleman, they take their percentage in the middle. So it is a great setup for us because we don't have to use our time and our bandwidth going out and searching for sponsors. But, you know, to anybody out there that maybe has a more narrowed niche, or maybe is at a point where they actually don't want to go through a broker because they just want, you know, to cut out the middleman, so to speak, there's absolutely nothing wrong with just going, finding companies that you know would resonate with your audience, contacting their affiliate departments, their marketing department, explaining what your podcast is about, sharing with them some numbers, sharing them what a sponsorship would look like, and just waiting for the response. And there's a lot of companies who are being attuned to the fact that podcasts give their companies great ROI because of the engagement that the listeners have with that host.
John, this is totally off the recording, but I have to tell you, I love you guys.
We can keep that on the recording.
You know why? No, we'll keep that on the recording, definitely. But I'll tell you, you take the words out of my mouth. You and Kate both take the thoughts and the words clean out of my mouth. The next question was which factors you felt were critical in the decision-making process. I mean, every time, you're just awesome. You guys over-deliver, and I can't – it's just nonstop, John. You guys are just – I'd bow down if we were in person.
You're virtually you guys, bowing. I can
yes, literally, virtually bowing to the two of you. So you have since created additional podcasts such as Quotes on Fire and Kate's Take, and they have both rocketed through the charts. They are absolutely outstanding podcasts. You guys continue to develop show after show and product after product. You've got the Mastermind on Fire webinar workshops, podcast workshops, the Fire Path. You guys are definitely moving forward every single time. You know, I turn around, I look at what you guys do, and you continue to build. So I'd love for you to, you know, talk a little bit about hosting the weekly webinars and taking on the consulting clients. How is it that you guys went about deciding to build out the product base that you have now done so around the Entrepreneur on Fire brand?
So, Laura, this is a great question, and a lot of people let this stump them for so long because they don't know how to ask the right question. And that was singular on purpose. It's not questions, it's question. Mm-hmm. Because, Lori, as you're building a brand, as you're building an audience, you're going to start getting that raving fan base. And it might just be one person, and then it's going to grow to two, and then maybe it grows to four. But that person is going to reach out to you via email, via social media, and they're just going to say, Lori, thank you so much for what you do. Like, it really mattered today. And your response after a quick thank you should just be, what are you struggling with? What are you struggling with right now? Those words are pure magic. They're pure gold, because then you just listen, and then your raving fans tell you their pain points, their struggles, their obstacles and challenges. And then you, Lori, sit back, listen, record, categorize, and see which ones seem to keep coming up over and over again. And then that is the solution that you create. When a majority of your audience is having the same pains, the same struggles, the same obstacles, create the solution for them. And that's exactly how Podcasters Paradise was created, Lori, is that my audience was saying, John, I love your voice, your message, your brand. How can I do that in my niche, in my industry? And those questions kept coming up. Enter Podcasters Paradise. And I will say it was a very, very much so a success from day one, but not to the scale that it is now. It was just a great success. We did $7,000 in pre-sales for Podcasters Paradise. Then we opened the doors, and sales were coming in, but they weren't flying in. And so I was looking at it, I was saying, well, you know, this is not a cheap investment. This is not a, like, snap your fingers, $27 ebook. You know, this is a chunk of change. So how can we better deliver the value of what Podcasters Paradise is in a way that will make people realize that this investment is actually 100x the value? And it just came to me that webinars were an amazing way to do that. To number one, deliver incredible value. And then number two, give people a complete behind the scenes look at exactly what Paradise was and the value within. And then, of course, offer them an action takers promotion on that live webinar. Like, it had all the factors that I thought would work. And from day one, our webinars were just a smash hit. And we've been doing incredible on each and every webinar that we hold every single Wednesday now. And what was really cool, Lori, was that, you know, when people would just look at a sales page and say, wow, like, it looks good, but I just don't know if I quite get it. On a webinar, they get it because you're there, you're live, you're answering their questions, you're removing their barriers. You're just there as a person that they can now trust. They're not saying, okay, was this sales page created like 6 months ago or 6 days ago? But no, like, this webinar is live. I'm in person, I'm in the flesh, I'm telling you about the latest improvements, and we're talking about how podcasting is exploding, XYZ, and it's all right there, which is of such value. And so since that aha moment that I had, Lori, about doing live webinars, Podcasters Paradise has now brought in over $1.1 million in revenue on live webinars. That's on live webinars. So,
that's,
I mean,
outstanding. Congrats.
Thank you. And that's just the power of webinars. So then, Lori, this is where, right, I love entrepreneurship and where I love business, because where does it take you then? People started saying, well, John, how are you creating and presenting these webinars that convert so gosh darn well? And I said, whoa, light bulb. You know, Lori, I was listening and I heard that and I said, right, well, maybe it's time to create a product that helps people create and present webinars that convert. Enter Webinar on Fire. And Webinar on Fire, just like Podcasters Paradise, has been an incredible success. It's built off the exact same principles of Podcasters Paradise. Ask your audience what they're struggling with, listen to them, and create the solution. We do two webinar workshops every single month, and we consistently generate over $15,000 a month for Webinar on Fire alone, and we did over $100,000 since we launched just a handful of months ago. So that was just from listening to our audience on what they needed on top of podcasting, which was, okay, well, you know, now I want to know how to create a product that I can sell via a webinar, and Webinar on Fire is now their answer. So we're giving them that as well. Like you said, that's how we're continuing to build out Entrepreneur on Fire, build out our brands.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why I brought you back on, because you are such a perfect example of precisely what you do every day, John. You listen,
yeah,
to the audience, but you take the action and you actually deliver every single month. You guys are constantly delivering, and each month you guys include a bonus episode, which includes your income report for the previous month. You include a lot of really key information on the ups and downs of what works and what doesn't work. And for anyone who's interested, you can always go ahead and check out John's monthly income report over at eofire.com, and of course we'll have links to that. But it, you know, in September 2014, your income report content creator Kate actually discusses the idea of over scheduling and over delivering and overdoing, and I think that's a really important thing to bring this conversation to a close to, because although we all need to take the action, it's also important to encourage the audience to take that time to schedule in, time to take breaks, and time to say no, and not really overschedule yourself. So do you have any tips or tricks on that piece? I know your blog piece and the end of the income report, people can definitely check out the suggestions there. But John, do you have any closing ideas for the audience?
No, absolutely. And thank you for bringing up those income reports, because Kate does spend a lot of time going over our last month and discussing the successes, Lori, because we do have a lot and we want people to be able to emulate those successes. But as you just pointed out, just as importantly, we spend a lot of time on our failures, on our mistakes, on things that we're not doing good yet. So people can avoid those or maybe learn from our missteps and our rabbit holes and not get caught up in the same thing. And one of those is overscheduling. And I mean, we have a lot of demands on us. I mean, just right before this phone call started with us, you know, I had an email from somebody that wants to fly me out to Shanghai to speak at their conference. I mean, that's an amazing opportunity. Like, hypothetically, I would love to do that. But I mean, it's just, you can only do so many things. And I have Creative Live in San Francisco next week. And, you know, and I could just pull my calendar and the list goes on. And I need to really sit down and say, you know, what really works for Entrepreneur on Fire? Well, our communities, Fire Nation Elites, Podcasters Paradise, Webinar on Fire, the live webinars we do to drive people to those communities, and the content production that I do right here standing in my living room in San Diego, not on a plane heading out to Shanghai to speak in front of 500 people, which would be fun, awesome, and would benefit the business, absolutely, but not to the degree that I can do here, leveraging, focusing, being rested, putting the right foods in my body, exercising daily, and just having this ability to just produce at a very high level. So we've both become Mr. and Mrs. No for the rest of 2014 and beyond. We're just going to have to say the hard no to a lot of things that we would both like to do. But if we want to keep serving Fire Nation as a globe in the way that we want to, and that we know that we can, and the way that they deserve, by the way, then we need to be Mr. and Mrs. No. So I'm happy to be on the no train. I'm going to be there for quite some time. You know, it allows me to spend 4 hours on a Thursday being interviewed on 8 other shows. I mean, this is a very effective and efficient use of my time. You're my first, Lori, of 8 back-to-back interviews today.
Wow. But I'm Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. But, you know, and the thing is that this is going to be a 4-hour block of my time that's going to be very well used, because I'm getting to chat with your audience and then with 7 other audiences, you know, over the course of the next few weeks and months when these shows are released. And that's really powerful. So this is a great use of my time. Entrepreneur on Fire is a great use of my time. Quotes on Fire is Take for Kate. Those are scalable and leverageable things that really work. So that's kind of my last call to action to the listeners is, what's your 80-20? What are the 20% of your actions that result in 80% of your desired outcomes? And then just focus on that 20%. And you know I love that word focus, Lori.
I certainly do. You got to follow one course until success.
Oh,
of course
it.
I do.
Nailed it.
I so enjoy every moment that John Dumas shares with the techie community. John, thank you again. If you have not had the opportunity to go back and check out episode 3, please do so now so that you have the opportunity to check out the full story of John's startup. It is rather impressive. And if you would like, please be sure to also check out John at his website at entrepreneuronfire.com, or you can also go to eofire.com. And as always, you can check him out in our show notes page at our new domain, technologyequality.com/John Dumas. Thank you again for joining me, everyone, and until our next episode, where we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.